Georgia got here just in the nick of time. What does that make us?
Big damn heroes, sir.
Ain't we just?
You an alien?
What?
I'm out of space, an alien.
No.
Well then, son, you've got a condition.
I hope you know that this is a very difficult job, mm-hmm. for which you are totally wrong. And if you mess up, my head is on a chopping block. Now hang that up. Don't just fling it anywhere.
Hello and welcome to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM, a film and TV radio show where a handful of film enthusiasts shoot the breeze about all things film and television. I am Marcus E. Acko, and my favorite foreign TV film, I'm going to say the one I'm watching at the moment, is Professor T on More 4. It's finished its first season run, but you can go on all four and download all the episodes.
I'm Laura Sampson, and my favourite foreign TV show still has to be Gegege no Kitaro. It is a Japanese children's TV series about a boy who's also part of the Japanese fairy world of the yokai. And he and his father, who is a reincarnated spirit inside a giant eye, and a couple of other fairy world companions, go off having all kinds of adventures around different parts of Japan. It is a huge, huge, huge deal in Japan. There have been six different series of it. Six different revivals, not just series. Yeah. There are 100 episodes in each one. From the 60s onwards. It's based on a really famous comic.
All right.
So,
I've got tons of questions I need to ask about that, because you talked about that last time and I didn't ask my questions, but I'm going to ask some questions now. But with us in the studio is a fashion writer, stylist, and co-founder of the 55 Pages magazine. Please tell us your name and your favorite foreign TV show.
Oh, hello everybody. My name is Sarah Darling, and it's very difficult for me to choose my favourite foreign film
You said foreign film. Well, we'll do foreign film later on, but we're talking favourite foreign TV show.
I don't know if I have a favourite foreign TV show. I can't sit still long enough to watch a TV show.
You don't watch TV shows that often?
I don't really watch them, because I can't. I can concentrate on a film, but yeah. You know, to actually watch a TV series and be in the same place at the same time,
It's a heck of a commitment as well, because obviously a film, you dedicate 2 hours of your time, you're good, you're done, you can move on to something else. Whereas a TV show, you watch 1 hour, you have to come back the next week, watch another hour, and so on.
Absolutely.
Okay, fair enough. We'll let you off just because you're the guest.
I know. Maybe I'm a commitment phobe.
We will get there. Also with us in the studio, I'm not going to forget him this time. He's our brother from another mother. Tell us your name and your favourite TV show.
Yeah, my name is David Campbell. My favourite TV show, foreign TV show, was a TV series on Channel 4 called The Return.
Yeah, okay.
And it ran for 2 series. Yeah. And it was based on a film which, please, I cannot speak French, so it's Les Revenants, I think, is the French title.
All our French listeners right now are... Yeah. Actually, to be honest...
listeners, please send an MP3 of how to actually... pronounce that, because I'm not going to try myself.
We do have a French listener who is he's Luxembourgian, but he has French in there as well. Gerard Scheidler. Send us a message and correct the pronunciation.
All I will say that David is... based on last week's episode, the last tune that came out, Don't Shoot Me. So that was the last tune on the show.
Yeah.
Don't Shoot Me. for making
So what's The Return about?
The Return, basically, it was about...
You can't remember it's your favorite TV show.
I'm trying to get it right. Basically, it was about these people who had died.
Yes.
Returning.
Mm-hmm.
And the film itself, it was based on a film, And the film itself, it was kind of a zombie film, but these weren't zombies. These people returned flesh and blood as they had died.
Sure.
So,
but they, so they were alive.
Basically, they were...
Basically alive.
Seemingly.
So you're seeing half-dead people who were speaking French.
But they, but they didn't look pale or anything else like that. They looked alive.
Sure.
But they were dead. They, okay. People knew they were dead because there were people who returned from, say, for instance, a coach crash.
Okay.
13 of them, I think, died. And they all came back.
So did they come back deformed or was it as though nothing had happened?
As though nothing had happened.
Okay.
And this was several years after the, event as well. So it just, and it was a small French village and the effects on the people in that village were shattering. It was just like, you know, there was a couple who were still getting up, grieving for the loss of their child. Mm-hmm. Bang, the child's back and it just rips the family apart, basically. Yeah.
Wow. So they come back with the same personalities or are they, do they come back... a changeling
that's the draw of the series because obviously there's because I think there's an American version of the show as well. Yeah. Is Omar Epps in that one or am I confusing that with a different one?
I can't remember because I didn't watch it.
Okay, fair
I
enough.
Must admit I thought the French one was so good.
Yeah.
I didn't want to watch a remake. The French one was really really good.
That's where I heard of the show because I heard of the American version first and then I heard it was based on a French TV series and that's when I then knew about the French but I haven't watched either yet. However, I've read a little bit about it and all the critics all say that go and watch the French one rather than the American one because it has more tension.
Brilliant. It was really... And the thing about it was one of those first Channel 4 foreign language series that they made a massive thing about at the time as well. So the first episode, that all the adverts that came on in between the parts of the show were in French. Everything.
Okay. Okay.
Everything was in French.
Fab.
And it was just, you know, they were saying, right, this is whole French hour, bang.
Yeah.
And nothing but French.
If you're not interested in French, you don't have to.
How did I miss this? How?
Yeah.
How long ago was this?
And this was 2015, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And it was just massive.
Wow. Okay, perhaps I was asleep throughout the whole of 2015.
And the worst thing about
it was you were watching
Gay. Is it Gay you were talking about?
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, no, that was before.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't know what I was doing in 2015, but sorry, Les Revenants, I will see you again.
Well, I was trying to find it on, because I thought it might be with the Walter Presents thing.
Yeah.
So that's something. It's not there.
Okay.
I could not find it. So,
all right, so
it may be repeated, but it went for two series.
What we're going to do is we're going to do some research and we'll find out how you can watch it. And we'll put it on the Facebook page, which is on Facebook at Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. Follow our Twitter as well. At STB_ResonanceFM. We'll put the messages out on there as in where you can go and find the returned. And Laura, your one, did I get it right? Was it Gay?
Gay no Kitaro.
No Kitaro. So do you know where you can actually, where someone, if someone wants to go and watch it right now, where can they go to watch that?
It depends what series.
Okay.
I will definitely do a post of, because there are two or three different series which you can access in a couple of different ways. There are some of the really old ones from the 60s and 70s just available on YouTube.
Okay.
And from another one from the mid-90s, you know, here and there on online.
Sarah, but I hope you're taking notes because you're going to be watching.
I need to watch all this stuff.
I'm
going to Cuba, so I might be able to watch binge watch on the plane.
There you go. You've got French. Is it Japanese? French, Japanese, and mine is Norwegian, I believe. Norwegian. It's Professor T. So,
okay.
Yeah, excellent.
That's a lot of notes.
Yeah. You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko.
And I'm Laura Sampson.
In the studio with us is Sarah Darling of First Class Darling fame or Diary of a Fashion Darling.com. She also and also co-founder of 55 Pages magazine. Also with us in the studio is I keep calling him our brother from another mother. He is David Sampson.
Hello. David Campbell.
I said David Sampson. I combined the two.
David, you really
You're
are my brother
me.
Now.
Yes, there you go.
I've been adopted.
I merged you two together. As soon as the words came out, I was like, dude, check yourself.
I'll be Sarah Sampson by the end of it.
Fair enough.
Everyone can join the Sampson family. I don't mind.
So we're going to go through. We'll talk our top five favorite films, which we'll talk about that. We'll talk more about Sarah Darling and her work. We will also have a clip at the end, which is Netflix or Amazon Recommends. But before we go through all of that, let's do film and TV news. Right, so tomorrow I'm going to go watch Avengers Infinity Wars. I've been waiting for this since I knew that Avengers existed, and I did a little bit of research, and this was when I was growing up, obviously, and then the comic book, and then the movie started coming out, and then Avengers Infinity Wars is basically the Christmas for all Marvel Cinematic Universe audience fans. So if you love Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, Hulk, Guardians of the Galaxy, if you love all of those, if you have even a tiny little bit of appreciation for any of those movies, this is your Christmas because they are all in it, which is Avengers Infinity War. They have the one big villain that they've been leading up to for the last few years coming up. It's all culminating in this one movie.
It's that big high expectation, yeah?
Absolutely. So much so.
Not just you, but also several family members of yours.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Basically, I've been using this as a sort of a, what do you call that? You know, to get your kids to behave themselves, you know, like
a bribe.
A bribe. Yes. Yeah. I was trying not to use the word bribe. I was trying to think of a better word than bribe, something.
Especially since they might be listening. Now,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, they should be. If they're listening, you should be going to bed right now, Jacob. A treat. That's much better than a bribe. Behave yourself or what? Or you won't get to see Avengers Infinity War. Fine, I'll do that. So tomorrow is the day we're all going to go see that movie. Laura, you're going to go see it on the weekend as well?
I am. I promised myself that I would not go before you.
Oh, yeah.
And so once you've told me that you've been,
yep.
I will feel free to go.
Sure. Okay.
With your blessing.
It was the same. It was kind of the same thing with Black Panther when it came out. It was like I was looking forward to seeing it, and I saw it, and I was like, oh, yes, this is great. Exactly what I was looking forward to. And then
that's still the best inside cinema experience I've ever had.
Yeah.
You know, a full cinema full of people absolutely enjoying what's going on,
yeah,
and really getting involved in it. Lots of people from lots of different walks of life as well. It's quite unusual nowadays to go into a cinema that is that full,
mm-hmm,
after the first few days it's been out,
yep,
full of people who are completely engaged. But anyway, and Infinity War will probably be similar.
Absolutely. In fact, I've been hearing it's almost comparable to Black Panther pre-sales. I don't know if they've exceeded the pre-sales numbers or if that was just hype, but they're pretty much almost close to matching Black Panther pre-sales. But that's because of how long people have been waiting for this movie. Sarah, you're not a fan of... I'm making an assumption. This is me making an assumption.
You can make an assumption. I'll put you right or wrong.
Are you a fan of the Marvel series or just basically blockbuster movies like this?
Not so much.
So the list, because I've got a list. Before we started the show, Laura asked me what movies should people watch before they go and see this. I mean, I could say go and watch all of the movies in the Marvel, Marvel Cinematic Pantheon. But that, I mean, if you don't have enough time, if you don't have my kind of time, where basically I sleep and breathe and watch movies and whatnot, then there are 9 movies in particular in this particular order you should
see. This film is Avengers: Infinity War is quite unusual in that it has nicked characters from all over the Marvel Universe who've had most of whom have had their own.
Absolutely.
Films, right?
And storylines in these particular films lead towards this particular movie itself.
Okay.
So I'll rattle these off. Tell me if you've seen or heard of any of these ones.
Okay.
Avengers Assemble.
No.
Okay. Thor Dark World.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Doctor Strange.
Nope.
Avengers Age of Ultron.
Oh, I like movies, but no.
Okay. I'm sure there's going to be one that's going to be in here. Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 1 or Volume 2.
Nope.
Okay. Ant-Man.
No.
Okay.
Oh, actually, it's probably best you You never know about Ant-Man.
Backtrack. Why? What's wrong with Ant-Man?
I heard lots of rubbish about that.
Really?
Yeah, I heard it was rubbish.
We won't get into it now, though, will
However,
we? Next.
No. Yeah, maybe next time. Okay. Yeah.
I did recently interview Kaylee Spaney for Shun Magazine.
Okay.
And she was in one of the blockbuster ones, but I can't remember because I have a terrible memory. Sorry, Kaylee.
I'm Googling it right now.
Yeah. Yes, yes. she was the star of, it wasn't Marvel, yeah. It was the one that came out quite recently.
The DC one?
Yes, it must have been the DC one. Kaylee Spaney.
Kaylee Spaney.
She's not been in very much, but she kind of got her first major role. No, it was she was playing with the guy who... oh, my memory. That's why I write everything down.
No worries. Describe him. This is charade.
John Bateigue.
John Boyega.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking of the one where... I always forget the name of this one.
Yes, and it's got...
Guillermo del Toro, Pacific Rim Uprising.
Yes, Pacific Rim Uprising. Okay. Yes.
Not Marvel.
Oh, okay. No, not Marvel.
That's not DC either.
Yeah. That's an original project.
Yeah, that's a gaming thing.
Okay.
Well, it's more original project because it's Guillermo del Toro did Pacific Rim first, and it was basically about monsters and robots fighting each other.
Yeah.
So, So
that's about as far as I know.
She doesn't listen to this show, so that's fine. So next time, we'll
not yet.
Yeah.
We'll
edit all of this bit out. So next time you say, yes, Kaylee Spaney from Pacific Rim Uprising.
That's
know that movie.
That's the one.
It's not in this list. So it's safe to say that you're not a big blockbuster type of person.
No.
Okay. Well, there's a movie that I'm going to be talking about next, which most likely is in your wheelhouse. Okay. You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko.
And I'm Laura Sampson.
With us in the studio is writer, fashion writer and stylist, Sarah Darling.
Hello.
And our brother from another mother, David Campbell.
Yeah, you got my name right.
I didn't switch off at that point. I'm like, yeah. Okay, so the movie I was referring to, forget Avengers, forget Marvel, forget DC, forget Pacific Rim, is McQueen, the documentary about Alexander McQueen, correct?
Yes, we've just had a teaser trailer over here. Published, and it was published, I think, the same day that the Tribeca Film Festival in New York got to see the whole film. It's a documentary about the life of one of the UK's most successful, groundbreaking, unbelievably brilliant designers who sadly died in 2010. Since then, we've had an exhibition all about his work, which was brilliant at the V&A. And we've heard bits and pieces about him, but really about his work. And he always said that his work was him. But this documentary says it's going to have people talking about Alexander McQueen, the person, as well as Alexander McQueen, the collections. Mm-hmm. Is that why you're excited about it, Sarah?
I'm so excited. I mean, he was a genius. He was just so inventive. He was innovative. He was just such a lovely, lovely person and obviously died so young. I think the stress of fashion. I think it's actually put together by the same production company, or I'm not sure if it's the same director as Leon Talley. Andre Leon Talley, who's the editor of American Vogue, which I saw that film, actually. It was really, really interesting. They pulled together a lot of his old friends and things like that. So I imagine that will be the same kind of thing that goes into this documentary as well. So he's obviously made such a major impact on the fashion industry. So there will be a lot of people who are relevant now, who people, you know, in the fashion industry, kind of students, other designers, journalists, you know, he was so influential, who will be happy to speak about. Kind of what a genius he is. And obviously his exhibition at the V&A, like you said, was immense. It was just, that was a sellout. That was amazing.
It really was. And a whole new generation of fans, I felt, saw that exhibition and thought, wow, this guy isn't just, in inverted commas, a fashion designer. He is an artist and, you know, a kind of Picasso level artist.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't commercial. He didn't actually have to adhere to anything. He broke rules. He just kind of, he had a vision and, you know, kind of went with it, which is quite remarkable, really.
Yeah, I see. I'll be honest. I'm a complete novice is not even the right word. I basically am a caveman when it comes to fashion. I have no fashion sense whatsoever. I'm terrible. Alexander McQueen, I only knew about him in passing because I live in a society where you have Twitter and Facebook and everything else. And that's how I knew about Alexander McQueen. And when he died, I heard more about him. And then when I saw the trailer for the movie, for the documentary about his life, that's it sort of the visuals in that trailer alone, it grabs me and it makes me want to go and watch it and learn about him. So I'm looking forward to the documentary because it's sort of, okay, so as I just described myself, Alexander McQueen, how did his life impact my life?
Whoa, well, his everything that he made and he kind of broke rules would have kind of filtered down to even the high streets. Okay. You know, everything he was copied, he was just kind of like a genius. And even though you might not know his name, the people who are kind of like higher up in the chain of where you buy your pieces, collections, whatever, you know, will be referencing him somehow.
Okay.
And it's just he's gone, you know, like he's will be referenced in music, he'll be referenced in art, the whole of popular culture, you know, because he's been an icon for
That makes perfect sense. I mean, in fact, if I may decide to fashion myself on a musician that I like and not knowing that actually he was influenced by Alexander McQueen or even dressed by Alexander McQueen. So,
Yeah,
I'm definitely looking forward to the documentary coming out.
Yeah, there have been lots of designers who have been famous, but I feel like Alexander McQueen is the one who put London on the world fashion map, which is why it's a bit unfair that his that the documentary is first airing in New York.
But
we can live with that for another month or so. I think it's coming out end of May, first weekend.
It's not going to hurt the box office sales. Definitely not. People will still go and watch it. If anything, having it debut in New York first means that everyone else in Europe gets to sort of long for that particular movie. They get to get the publicity from what's happening in New York, and then they'll go and watch it when it comes out. Which means the documentary will thrive based on that, and everyone gets to hear about it.
Well, unfortunately, what I read was that the documentary is only going to be for a limited run. In the UK.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not going to be a massive release. What I've read. I may be wrong.
Again, depending on the impact, it may have a limited run in the UK, but obviously it'll probably do better in New York, which is why it's there first. But definitely an award contender when it comes to Oscars for next year. It'll definitely get mentioned in consideration for best documentary.
The Tribeca Film Festival is a bit of a fashion hub as well. You don't really take pictures of what people are wearing on their way in on the red carpet so much at Cannes. Yes, but not really
celebrity
any of the
oriented
London.
I suppose, isn't it, Cannes?
This year's Tribeca Film Festival particularly, there seems to be a few fashion documentaries kind of circling around. I read about one which I hope I'll get to see, even though it doesn't have a UK release date yet, which is about a Chinese fashion designer called Guo Pei, who designed this enormous yellow dress that Rihanna wore to something like a 60-foot train. And the documentary is called Yellow is Forbidden because there's a kind of a stigma around the colour yellow in China, which I guess we'll learn quite a lot more about in the documentary. But anyway, it's a New Zealand director, and it's got a New Zealand release date. And of course, people in New York have seen it, but hopefully we'll be able to see it
soon. You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko.
And I'm Laura Sampson. I'm Laura Sampson. I am Laura Sampson.
You are Laura Sampson. With us in the studio, fashion writer, stylist, and co-founder of 55 Pages magazine, Sarah Darlin.
Hello.
And David Campbell, who's punching his weight at the moment because he's keeping me on track. Just before we move to the next segment, I just want to say Antonia Kirby says hi.
Hello.
I'm assuming on Facebook we've got Antonia Kirby.
Hi, Antonia.
We've got Patrick Jamar as well, who's on Facebook. Antonia says that she liked Ant-Man except for Evangeline Lilly, which she doesn't like. So, What's your beef with the girl? I like Evangeline Lilly. She's great. I liked her in Lost. She hasn't done much apart from that. And Ant-Man. She's going to be in Ant-Man and the Wasp. But, you know.
We need to talk about Ant-Man another time.
We will talk about Ant-Man another time.
Another one to add to my list.
Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd, Michael Douglas, Evangeline Lilly, and some other people. So, yeah, it's a good film. Go check it out.
I'll check it out.
Anyway, so we have music interlude. I say music interlude because you were just wrapping me up. Spotlight. We've got Sara Darling in the room. We've been talking about a whole bunch of other stuff. There's no interest in her. Let's play our Spotlight music. So Sara is a fashion writer, stylist, and co-founder. You're the fashion editor of 55 Pages magazine.
I am.
So, okay, what projects are you working on at the moment?
Oh, goodness me. So many. I juggle. I think I should have Juggler in there somewhere. 55 Pages is a magazine, and it's very cool. Mm-hmm. I write about fashion, music, bits of music, actually, just not my forte, travel, okay. And film and lifestyle. I do a lot of that for 55 Pages and our website, 55factory.net.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because I've read one of the articles that you wrote for a movie, Beast, that's coming out.
Oh, yes, that's a good one.
That's on 55net, right?
55factory.net, yes. Yeah, cool. But I also am freelance, so okay. I have to, you know, I have to pay the rent. So I write for other magazines, other publications. I'm actually off to Cuba on Monday.
Yes, you mentioned that earlier. What are you doing in Cuba?
I'm going to do a travel piece. Okay. So I'm going to go and experience the joys of Cuba, see how it's looking with the new prime minister.
Okay.
And and then straight off to Palm Springs.
So you're a photographer as well, or does someone else take the photographs and then you write the pieces?
I'm not strictly a photographer, but I can use it. I can take photos.
Okay. We've seen some of the pictures that you've taken, and they're very lavish pictures. Laura was mentioning as well. She's kind of hooked on that. You're on Instagram as well.
I do like my Instagram, yes.
Your Instagram is at fashiondarlingofficial, correct?
At fashion. I've got two, obviously. Oh, okay. I'm just greedy. And at firstclassdarling with first one ST.
Okay.
Because the other one had gone.
No, that annoyingly.
Makes sense. Yes.
So First Class Darling, that's at First Class Darling on Instagram, and then at Fashion Darling
Official. Yes.
That's good. So do you are you the one in charge of both Instagram accounts?
I am.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of work. You talk about juggling. That's a lot of work. You're traveling, you're writing, doing reviews for fashion, travel, and films and music, mm-hmm. although not necessarily music. And you're taking pictures and you're posting them on there as well. That's uh-huh. I mean, when do you have the time to do that?
Yeah. It's a full-time job. I don't have a social life. No, I do have a social life, but that is my social life. Mm. Everything, you know, it's just the way it is. Yeah. Okay. And I live in Brighton, so... I do a lot on the train while I'm up and down.
Yeah, so that's what you do. You just basically wait till when you get on the train, you sit down and then you start writing all your pieces and then you can piece them on the go.
Thinking about them more like...
Oh, fair enough, okay.
How far do you get to decide what kind of cultural events you write about? If it's an event or things...
Is
it mostly commissions or?
Well, I get a bit picky. I have gotten a bit picky now. Because I get a lot of information sent to me. You know, I'm friends with, I know a lot of PRs. So if there's something of interest that I think, oh, wow. Like, for example, I've just been to a David LaChapelle exhibition in Holland. I love him. He's a fashion photographer.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. And I do love Holland as well. So I'm quite good friends with the PR director for the Netherlands, actually. Okay. So I was just like, oh, I really want to go and review that. And is that possible? So
you do your travel as part of your travel pieces.
Yes.
You
run around. Yeah. So I went on my own as an individual trip, all expenses. And went to Groningen, of course, which is, you know, a very small city in the Netherlands. But got to meet David LaChapelle, go to the exhibition on the opening night. There was a ballet dancer. It was just beautiful.
That's so, David LaChapelle, not David.
David LaChapelle.
Yeah, not to be confused with Dave Chappelle.
No, the comedian.
I just had to put that out there just in case.
Sorry, because, other Dave.
Yeah, there are people I know who are listening to this thinking, I'm sorry, Dave Chappelle's in Holland? I'm bad. But you'd be... slightly disappointed.
Well, this is a surprise that David LaChapelle was there too.
That's true. You won't be disappointed. You'll be in, you'll be in, it'll be in, an exciting adventure, but a completely different one than you expected.
Yes.
Okay, so you've been to, so you went to Holland and you did that. What other areas? You're going to Cuba. When are you flying off to Cuba? I don't say when you're flying to Cuba, but when are you going to Cuba?
Monday.
Okay, before you went to Cuba, Holland, what other areas have you gone to that you, have pretty much struck you with either beauty or, if anything, the reverse, where you were expecting it to be fantastic and you were completely horribly disappointed?
Oh, gosh, that's going to put me on the spot.
Here's the reason why I pitched that, right? Because a lot of travel writers, they write about places that inspire them and are fantastic, and you see great images and everything else. You never get to, the only person I've really seen travel documentary where he was, and he's not really a travel documentarian, is the guy, the friend of Ricky Gervais. The show was called Idiot Abroad.
Oh, yes.
Carl Pilkington, that's it.
Yeah, yeah,
so Carl Pilkington is the only person I've really seen do a travel documentary where he just is not enjoying the entire, he's not enjoying the experience at all. But for you, you're a travel writer. Can you give us any areas, any places you've been to that you were expecting it to be excellent and it just was not?
Not really. Yes, well, no. I mean,
PR machine is like, do not. We want to go back there. Well, we haven't been paid yet.
I make the best of everything.
Sure.
Because I am an eternal optimist. But and I don't see, to be honest, unless, you know, there's kind of news or something shut down or, you know, for example, where was I in Turkey and there were loads of stairs going down to this steps, juddy steps going down to this cave, and it would have been really difficult to get to.
Okay.
I don't think, you know, you've got to be a bit constructive.
Sure.
And, you know, kind of don't say don't go there, and, you know, or just say, you know, maybe be a bit humorous and just say, you know, oh, don't order the fish if unless you like bones, you know what I mean? Something
all
like
right,
that.
So let's go to the optimistic road. So apart from Holland and Cuba, have you been to Cuba before?
No.
Okay. So apart from Holland, where else has blown your mind that you've been to? Or maybe not necessarily blown your mind, but it's currently at the top of your list of, yes, I would happily go back there again.
Oh, gosh, lots of places. Mexico, I absolutely loved. Isla Mujeres is this tiny little island that is, it's quite close to Cancun, which is remarkable because that's a very, very touristy place. Okay. But you just go on a boat to this island, absolutely gorgeous, really laid back, really kind of local. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love the northern places, some of the northern parts of Thailand. I love the beaches in Thailand, but some of the northern parts of Thailand as well, which were much more kind of jungly and pretty, as opposed to kind of touristy again.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. That actually kind of leads me to my next question. You talked about Thailand, you talked about Mexico. Those are places that would pretty much spring to mind as soon as you talk about.
And they're all quite far away.
Yes. They're quite
far away means long-haul flights. Uh-huh. And long-haul flights means entertainment systems.
If I didn't have Laura with me on the show will go totally off the rails. So we'll ignore my question and let's rope it back in with your question.
We can come back to yours, but I really want to know.
We don't have to come back to my question. It's fine. Go for it, Laura.
I really want to know whether you are a person who watches movies and TV on long-haul flights or tries to sleep for the whole time.
Ooh, now that's a bit of both, actually. I've seen some really good movies on flights.
Me too. That's why I ask. Yeah. Things that are really surprising, especially when you use airlines that you wouldn't normally think, you know, you're not going BA, you're going Thai Airways, or you're going on one of the Japanese airlines, and there are all kinds of things that would never get a theatrical release.
Yeah. I've seen... and I've cried on planes.
I always cry. I cry so much.
To film, you know, what I'm watching, not just in general, because they didn't bring me my G&T.
Yeah, there's another thing, I listened to this other radio show, The Film Review, with Mark Kermode and Simon Mayo, and they have this thing where their guests call in, and for the life of me, it's escaped my memory. It's called SALS or something like that, where it's basically where they're watching a movie usually on flights, and they're just crying incessantly when they watch the same movie on land, and that would be completely different.
Yeah.
So do you experience
that? I think it is something to do with the latitude. You know, you're kind of like, your emotions are awry, you know.
It's one of the best ways, I think, to watch films that are a bit emotional. Sometimes I find films that are a bit like that a little bit cheesy when I'm on the ground.
Sure.
But at least two of my favourite films that I'm going to talk about later I first saw on a long haul flight, because, you know, you just feeling quite adventurous anyway. You just, I just think, okay, well, I'll watch half an hour of whatever. Sure.
Okay.
Longest time I've been on a plane.
Longest time I've been on a plane is 8 hours, so, you know, that's not really a long haul flight.
You can still pack in at least three movies in there. Three four-hour movies if you wanted to, whatever, and not end one of them. But, yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, you know, by the time they've got their crates out to shovel you the food and all that stuff, that's cut it down to about three movies. But even on the flights I was on, they didn't have very many good films to watch, so I didn't watch them.
Yeah, upgrade your airline.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. I think that might have to be,
yeah. I have to say, Singapore and Thai Airlines are right up there.
Emirates as well. I'm at Emirates.
Well, I went Iberia, so that's the reason why.
EasyJet? No. You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko.
And I'm Laura Sampson.
With us in the studio, Sarah Darling. She's the the co-founder of 55 Pages magazine. She's a fashion writer, fashion traveler, travel writer. And she is flying off to Cuba. We're going to be tuning into your Twitter page, which is @fashion_darling, so we can get all the reviews about Cuba. You tell us everything about it.
Oh, yeah. Also, and look at Instagram. There'll be some pictures.
And Instagram as well. Also with us in the studio is David Campbell. Who's going to be telling us what his top five favorite foreign movies are. Not just him, all of us. Right after this musical interlude.
Me gusta lo mejor, a mujeres no me falta ni el dinero ni el amor. Jineteando en mi caballo por la sierra yo me voy, las estrellas y la luna ellas me dicen dónde voy. Ay, 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 mi amor, ay, mi morena de mi corazón. Me gusta tocar guitarra, me gusta cantar el son. Mariachi me acompaña cuando canto mi canción. Me gusta tomar mis copas, aguardiente es lo mejor. También el tequila blanco con su sal le da sabor. Ay, 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 mi amor. Ay, mi morena de mi corazón. Me gusta tocar guitarra, me gusta cantar el son. El mariachi me acompaña cuando canto mi canción. Me gusta tomar mis copas, aguardiente es lo mejor. También el tequila blanco con su sal le da sabor. Ay, 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 mi amor. Ay, mi morena de mi corazón. Ay, 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 mi amor. Ay, mi morena.
So that was Antonio Banderas, Mi Corazón, from the movie Desperado. I love this song and this movie so much.
I love Antonio Banderas.
it's a Robert Rodriguez movie. I'll talk a little bit more about it in my top five. Oh, I won't actually talk about it because I won't be talking about it. It had to drop out of my top five favorite foreign films because technically there's a lot of English in it. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Let's move on to our next segment, which is top five favorite films. So, you're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Ackle.
And I'm Laura Sampson.
With us in the studio, fashion writer, stylist, and traveler, Sarah Darling.
Hi, everybody.
Also with us in the studio is David Campbell, who's here to give us his top five favorite films. But before we get to him, we'll start with our guest, who's going to tell us her number five and number four top five favorite foreign movie.
This has been really, really difficult, actually. I have a terrible memory for a start,
okay,
but I do love foreign movies. So I've collated a bit of a list, and I might actually put them in the wrong order. But I hope that doesn't really mind. I'm sorry if I offend anybody here. But one of them, at least, has got to be something by Almodovar.
Okay.
I love. I think I have seen every single one.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely adore all of them.
Okay.
That I've seen. But the one that I would possibly choose for my favourite is, or the fifth favourite,
yeah,
is The Skin I Live In.
That's Antonio Banderas, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
You see, I love him.
Yeah, good choice, good uh-huh choice. Okay, that's an excellent choice. What did you like about that movie the most?
I just love it because it's so random.
Well, that's true, I guess. It's one of Antonio de Banderas' darker characters, because he normally plays a hero, but in this one he's not. He's not at all. He's quite
yeah. But he's, you know, he plays it so well because he's obviously protecting, and he thinks he's doing what's right, mm-hmm, and he's so charismatic.
Yeah.
But where did this idea of him kind of making, you know, transforming a person into the different sex, you know, just by, uh-huh, it's just like weird but fabulous.
That's a great choice. What's your number four?
Number four, I think I'm going to go to a French one called Girlhood.
Girlhood?
Yeah.
That came out pretty recently, didn't it?
Yeah, it was about 2014.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's about the girls who are just kind of teenage girls who in France, and, you know, groups and gangs,
yes,
and just how they get on and don't get on, and just relationships, mm, and just kind of adolescence.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's in France, it's cool.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. That's a good choice. It came onto my radar because around the same time that, not Adulthood, but I think it was Adulthood,
yeah,
that came out around the same time.
So
it was in comparison
of
to
that genre, yeah, yeah. You know, it's brilliant, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. David, what's your number five and number four?
Number five, I would go with Bad Education.
Okay.
Oh,
Bad,
yes,
Education.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
Bad Education.
Yes.
Good choice.
Spanish language, mm-hmm, film. Number four, Law of Desire.
Law of Desire. Where's that from?
That's Almodovar.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And that is that was the first one that propelled Almodovar,
yeah,
into the, but also propelled Antonio Banderas.
Okay.
It's Antonio Banderas and what's the name of the woman who's in all of them?
Penelope Cruz.
Yeah, Penelope Cruz, you know.
No, it wasn't Penelope Cruz.
She's in a lot.
She's
the same
in a lot,
as, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, those are the two.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You need to send me those two as well. We're going to publish later on this weekend. We're going to put all our top fives on our Facebook page, which is Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. And we'll post that out on Twitter as well, which is at STB_ResonanceFM. So you can follow it. As well as when the podcast comes out on Monday, you'll get a listing as well of everything that we talk about in this particular episode. Laura, what's your number five? What's your number four?
As you know, I'm a huge Japanese film fan, and it was really difficult for me to try and get some variety of different languages into my top five.
Yeah.
But I did it. You'll be happy to know. It won't all be Japanese language films, although it could easily have been. My number five
Watch is winding up. This is a running joke that every episode Laura has to mention Neverending Story, but this doesn't count. So what's your number
There's
five?
No subtitles in it.
Ah, okay.
Although maybe Lord of the Rings would have. No, anyway, my number five is A Man Named Ove. It's a Swedish film about a grumpy old man who accidentally makes friends with a family who've just moved in next door while he's trying his best to commit suicide. It's based on a book which I read a couple of years before the book came out in 2012. It was, mm-hmm, a massive bestseller. And the film is directed by Hannes Holm, I think his name is. And it was just as delightful as the book. It was a really short, comedic, but quite deep-feeling film. My number four, I actually only saw it last week, and it's actually a quite a big Bollywood blockbuster called October, and it was directed by Shujit Sirkar. It's in Hindi, mostly in Hindi, a bit of English, and it's a really unusual romance between an extremely ill woman and a guy who used to be a bit of a cad, but his experience of the person he's falling in love with's illness makes him a better person.
You mentioned that last week, didn't you?
When I did, but I was we were really talking about directors last week, and I just really wanted to give it some time as a film in its own right, because it's unusual. Not what I would expect from a Bollywood film. I expect song, I expect dance, I expect joy, I expect, you know, people crying, but this was really quiet about love and grief. And it was, it starred the female star of it is actually a Welsh woman, Asian Welsh woman.
Oh wow!
Who goes to India to get better parts?
Yeah, that's why you mentioned it, because of the acting.
My microphone just tried to run away from me. I'm sorry, ghost if I offended you, Mike.
Yeah, it was not me pulling the microphone away. It's okay.
But that's my number five and number four.
Okay, so my number five, kind of moving from Bollywood as well, same thing. I kept it in the same line. Is The Burning Train. I talked about this when Ashanti Omkar was on the episode. Burning Train is by Ravi Chopra. It's got Dhrumendra. It's kind of like your disaster movie in Bollywood terms. In 1980s movie, Burning Train, it's literally what it is. It's about a train that's going, it loses control and it's on fire. It's got loads of kids singing in it and whatnot. Great movie. Loved watching it as a kid. My number four is Headhunters. It's a Norwegian drama or comedy drama directed by Morten Tildemann. I'm not pronouncing that correctly. But those of you who are Game of Thrones fans, you know Nicola Costa Waldau. He's in it. Go and check it out. It's about this headhunter who he's a business headhunter. He's kind of a social climber, but he's also an arts thief. And he pretty much entangles another art thief, and they they play back and forth. It's very, very good. That's my number five, which is Burning Train, and number four, which is Headhunters. Sarah, what's your number three and number two?
Wow, I've got so many. I should be writing these down as well.
I've got them all down. I'll put them on the website for you.
Oh, wow, cool. I've just seen one, actually. I know it's not foreign language, but it's out this weekend. Everybody should go see Beast. It's
Beast,
got
okay.
Johnny Flynn in, who was also in Game of Thrones,
okay,
just incidentally. But
hello, Johnny.
But that's not your number three. What's your number three?
No. So my number three would have to be Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
That makes me cry.
That's another book adaptation, isn't it?
Yes.
Just the brilliant, brilliant, brilliant book as well.
Oh, it's absolutely stunning. Just really, really lovely about somebody who is paralysed, but they dictate a book in hospital via blinking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, perfect.
I need to revise my list because of that, but don't worry, carry on.
No,
it's from the point of view of the carer, like kind of halfway from the carer and halfway from
it's
the Indian person who's blinking.
No, it's just beautiful. And then I've got another one, which is quite a recent one, called Mustang.
Okay, what's Mustang?
Mustang is a Turkish movie, and it was out in 2016. And it's a family of sisters. They're orphans, so they have to go and live with an auntie, an uncle. And but the family is really strict. Mm-hmm. So basically, these girls are teenage girls, but they are deprived of everything. You know, they can't have any access to mobile phones, to boys. Basically, the family is really, really kind of orthodox. So it's just like shut them off. They lock them in their room. They take away all nice clothes. And it's just they want to just kind of marry them off.
Okay.
So it is kind of a very realistic film. And it's the relationship between the sisters and the whole family.
And that's really Mustang.
Mustang. Okay. It's very, very watchable.
I've got that down. David, mm-hmm. What's your number three? What's your number two?
Okay, I'm going to go through these quickly. Spetters. It's a Paul Verhoeven film. In actual fact, it's the last Paul Verhoeven film he directed in the Netherlands before he went to America and became a massive film director there.
Okay.
You know, he did, what was his name? Well, he did some very famous American films.
Yeah.
And that was
number three.
Number two, I'm going back to, not Verhoeven. I'm going back to
Almodovar.
Yeah.
Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown.
Yes.
Oh,
hilarious.
Amazing.
Okay. Hilarious. Yeah. I, you know, absolutely hilarious film.
All of his. Yeah.
And it was compared to what I'd seen before, this one was so bright and so lush and so mad, it was untrue. You know, it just presented all the stars in a different light. And there's one woman in there who's just got such a severe look. She looked, she's got that great big nose, you know, that, I can't remember what her name is. But she looked so good in that film. And previously, it was like, my God, she looked like a gargoyle. So, you know, it was brilliant. It was brilliant.
Yeah. All right, Laura, what's your number three and number two?
My number three is a Hirokazu Koreeda film called Like Father, Like Son. It's about two families whose sons accidentally got swapped at birth and whose real sons really take after their real fathers. And the two families come together when they realise that this mistake has been made, and the stuff that happens when that happens is just great. It's kind of a quiet, quite funny, but also quite emotionally engaging film.
Yeah.
And number two is Bombay, directed by Mani Ratnam in 1995. It's a Tamil language movie about a mixed religion couple. The guy is Hindu and the woman is Muslim, and they get together and they move to Bombay, and it's in the middle of a kind of race riots there. And so it's really topical. It was a great recommendation from our erstwhile guest on the show, Ashanti Omkar, and it's gone straight into my top five.
Excellent. Okay.
Let's see.
My number three and my number two we'll start with my number three. My number three is Old Boy, which is Korean. It's Chan Wook Park, and then my number one, Old Boy got remade by Spike Lee. I like Spike Lee. His one is okay. It's just as crazy. But go and watch the original. The original is really, really visceral, really good. My number two is Amelie. It's got Audrey Tautou in it. It is just a visual feast to go and check out.
Yeah.
You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko.
And I'm Laura Sampson.
We've got Sarah Darling and David Campbell with us, who are going to tell us their number one favorite foreign movie. What's your number one, Sarah?
Oh, it's so tricky. But I'm going to say Il Postino.
Il Postino. Okay.
Oh,
fair enough.
If you don't know this one, it's about one lucky guy that gets to experience five different sisters.
That's a nice way to put it. Yes.
The Italians can get away with that.
Yeah, okay.
David, what's your number one?
My number one changes from day to day.
Now it's Il Postino.
It really does. At the moment, I'm really into Tati Daniel.
I've been
yakking on about that for ages. She is such an evil cow.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't know the film, basically it's about this lovely old woman who you think is lovely, but she's not. She's got, and she drives her family to distraction, absolute distraction. And it's only when they go on holiday that she faces her comeuppance with a woman caretaking
housekeeper.
Her housekeeper, yeah. Who doesn't take any of her crap and puts her in her firmly in her place, but she learns to respect her as well. But it's hilarious. It really is funny, really dark comedy.
That's good.
And it's French as well.
Laura, what's your number one?
My number one is a Mongolian film called The Story of the Weeping Camel. It is about a nomadic Mongolian family who own camels. And when one of the camels has a baby, she won't feed it. And two of the brothers of the family have to go on this big odyssey to try to get someone to try and fix this. And the person they get is this musician who does this amazing, who plays the camel this tune, which kind of charms it. It's the journey towards getting this musician and finding out that it's a musician they're getting rather than
a real doctor. Film or is it a cartoony type?
It looks like a documentary, but it's not a documentary.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Real camels, though, yeah?
You have mentioned this in one of our earlier sessions, which is why, as soon as you said the weeping camel, that just basically struck with me. Okay, so I'll put that on the list and I'll check that out as well. My number one, the list kind of shifted back and forth, especially number three. El Mariachi was going to be my number three, but I figured, no, I had to drop El Mariachi to put in Old Boy, just so I can get that part of the Orient. But my number one has always been my number one, City of God.
Oh,
City of God has been my number one. It's been fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
It's directed by Fernando Meirelles and Katia Lund. It's about two boys who grow up in Brazil, in the slums of Brazil, and you see how they grow up into two different directions. Mm-hmm. One becomes a journalist, and the other becomes a gangster. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if you don't like foreign movies and you don't like subtitled movies, go and watch this movie, City of God.
It's
a brilliant film.
Yeah.
You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I want to thank you, Sarah, for coming in and joining us. I know you had to travel far to come and join us.
That's fine.
We will post your YouTube, not YouTube, your Twitter, Facebook, Instagram accounts, just so that we can track you when you go down to Cuba. We can check out all your pictures and read all your articles.
Thank
you very much for joining us.
No problem.
We're going to wrap up today. We were going to do Netflix and Amazon recommendations, but we can tag that on at the end of the podcast, which is going to be out on Monday. Follow us on Facebook at Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM, and also follow us on Twitter at STB_ResonanceFM. We're also on Instagram. It's called Shoot the Breeze Show. You can follow us on there. We can post all these pictures on there. But until then, you've been listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko.
And I'm Laura Sampson.
Thank you very much for listening.
And see you next week.